Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Alrighty, and we have a financial professional live in the studio today, certified financial planner from Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Live Thursday. Thank you, Ron. And Shay is with us.
Hello.
Shay Pataja.
Pataja.
Thursday, 11:29. Hey, thanks for joining us. This is fun. Isn't it amazing how we're going into the Christmas season? Here we are, 11:29, and it just seems to be popping all around. Mm-hmm. We've already had Cyber Monday, you know, Black Friday, all the rest of it. And everybody just seems to be in the Christmas mood.
My house is decorated. The office is decorated. We're ready to go.
Right.
We're having a Christmas party next week.
I'm not there with you yet.
You haven't yet joined in the frivolity?
Nope.
But you're wearing that really snazzy sweater. I like that sweater.
Thank you. Thank you.
You look very sharp today.
Thank you. But it's not Christmassy.
Kind of feels like it. Just in my opinion.
All you need is a red hat with a, you know, little white thing on top there, Ron.
All you need is some Christmas cheer.
Yeah. Plenty to come.
So yes. Today's the variety show. We're talking about different kinds of retirement accounts and how you might save, given that 2019 is just around the corner. Well, what kind of retirement accounts do you have available at the office? Now, this is not a program du jour on full financial planning. It's just about ways that you might save long term and how you might be successful given the long term. First of all, you have to put some money in to get money back out.
Okay.
I know that seems basic.
Number one rule.
I've heard certain other financial advisors talk about the stats in regards to that, the statistics regarding success in retirement planning. The first step is, well, it's not necessarily as much about the allocation, about how long or short you've been doing it. That does, each of those can make a difference. But the real thing is, did you save money? Mm-hmm. Did you save the dollars into the plan? So today we're going to talk about some ways you might take advantage of that and use four or five different examples of how that might work in thinking about this.
What retirement accounts are there?
What are
your options?
7 to 8 at least. And there are variations within, so we can go to 10 to 12 if
we want. Let me see if Ron and I can guess them together.
Well, there's your garden variety 401k.
Yes.
There's an IRA.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
SEP. 403b.
Yes.
The mattress.
The mattress.
That's one.
That's one.
Although Shay mentioned a gentleman who didn't trust the banks and used a giant safe, and apparently
it melted in the California fires. But I couldn't find the name. I heard it in the news.
Famous
and
individual.
Yeah.
It wasn't Sean Hannity.
Sorry, I can't.
Just, you know, he likes his safes, I think.
Really?
I can't, yeah. So okay. What did we miss out of those? Oh, the 529 is not retirement planning.
No. Nope.
403 IRA.
Simple IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
The 457 plan generally for counties.
Okay.
Governmental agencies use those types of accounts. I don't know that you mentioned 403B
I did.
Accounts.
That
okay.
one I remember.
Roth IRAs.
How do we miss a Roth, Ron?
Roth. What does Ed Slott think of us?
Well,
I'm Roth.
Slap us around.
My.
Yes. And then the traditional old DB plan, the defined benefit pension plan.
Pension plan. Yeah.
Yes. The one you can draw income from at retirement generally. So the common theme, dollars in equals dollars out. You must utilize, save, take advantage of. The biggest component is not time, timing, or allocation. It's the dollars in. The biggest component is actually making the sacrifice. And it is. It is a sacrifice. In essence, you're setting aside, the conversation I heard Heidi, overheard Heidi having with a client. She said, you know, every time I get a raise, I put in $25 more into my account. Or with the new year, I try to add some money that's not nearly as painful as it might be. Then, she said, I'll have success over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the practical side. Start with something when you're starting that's not as painful as you think it might ought to be. So that if things don't go well, you still have some space for the emergency.
So question, a lot of folks in the financial industry would say you need to first save 3 to 6 months on your emergency fund. You need to pay off all your debt, then start saving for retirement. And what are your thoughts on that?
That's an extremely conservative strategy. And some might feel more comfortable with that. Others would say, well, then my mortgage is not going to be paid off for 15 years. Now, it depends on whether that advisor would call a mortgage a debt in the traditional terms. Mm-hmm. That debt that they're referencing may be credit card debt. There, if it's credit card debt at 18%, there is a strong argument for paying that off before you save in the long term. Part of that is, first of all, getting the emergency fund together of some type, 1 to 2 months of expenses, if you can at least, in concert and or beforehand, depending on your own ability to keep that discipline going. It's part of knowing thyself. It's an old saying, you know, from a while back. But knowing thyself. Some people may say, listen, I'm just going to put the 3% in there because my employer is matching that. I'll also do the pay down in the debt at the same time. Okay. Because the 3% match is 100% return on your money. Not bad, eh?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Put it in. Said. So, it's perspective. And the other part of this is getting counsel. The power of hearing someone else. Now, is this always comfortable for someone to come into our office? No.
No, that's their biggest fear is just getting to our office.
It is, just coming in. That's why we try to make it a friendly place with coffee and a variety of Christmas chocolate.
I got Christmas chocolates on Monday.
Chocolate.
Oh, and hot chocolate. And marshmallows. I kind of went a little crazy.
Hot dogs would be good.
Hot dogs.
I'll keep that in mind.
Grilled hot dogs.
I think my favorite.
Hi, have a seat. Dennis will be right with you. Would you like a hot dog?
I think we just went down a rabbit trail. Thank you very much. No,
sorry.
I'm willing to go down that rabbit trail. My favorite part of Home Depot is smelling the hot dogs on the way out.
I had a friend say, I said, where are you going there? I meet my dad for lunch at the Home Depot. You're kidding, right? No, it's his favorite.
No. In fact, they're very good.
Yeah. So you said getting counsel. So, for example, I graduated college. I went and saw you first. And then my friend's dad was a financial advisor. And both of you gave me good advice. I didn't take either of your advice fully.
Hey,
I did my own combination.
Because you applied it to you.
Yeah. I did a little combo pack. But what was strange with the advice was they said my interest rate on my college loan at the time was 1.7%. And the advice was don't rush to pay that off. Build your credit with that. And I was like, because I never had a credit card. Didn't want one.
History.
Didn't have a credit history. So that was kind of, then I went and did the Dave Ramsey course. And of course, that's not recommended.
No.
So it is hard. You do have to figure out what it is you want to do. But I definitely went more the hybrid route.
Having the goal orientation is the common denominator that I see in the clients who are successful.
Goals.
And just saying, we're going to keep saving. And we're going to do our darndest to make that happen. Now, obviously, life happens. I get that, to where you may be interrupted in that. But when you can continue at the earliest possible date, get going again. And the other big problem with these 401k plans is the ability to borrow may wind up being a liability in the future that you really don't want. because that can wind up being a taxable transaction. If you're let go from that company, now they have extended the period at which you can pay that loan back within the 401k.
You're talking about borrowing from your 401k.
Borrowing from your 401k. They allow you to borrow up to $50,000 of your own money within a 401k plan. And if it's not paid back within a certain time frame after you've left the company, it's all taxable.
Ouch.
So that can be some of the most expensive money that you might wind up borrowing if you don't remember that in your long-term planning.
I has a question. What if you're especially a young person or young couple, young family, and you have a mortgage? One of the advantages used to be you got the tax deduction, which now many people won't because they have that new $12,000 or $24,000 standard deduction. So that's no longer a plus. And why not take your money instead of putting it into retirement fund, double up and pay down that house mortgage as fast as you can, and then when you're done, then start plowing money into retirement. Is that a strategy to consider for
some
people?
It sure is. Now, some would totally disagree with me on that surprise. Yeah. But given the liability itself and what it's costing you, what is the base cost of principal and interest? And replacing that income, I know we talked about that before, but think of that in terms of that. That would be a significant way to consider that if you're nearer that, and especially nearing retirement, that can be an excellent way to make your retirement funds go much further. Let's just say your payment of principal and interest is $850 a month. In order to replace that from an income source, as I pull out my trusty phone.
With a calculator.
Yeah, I don't have my regular
It's not
HP
really a phone. It's a small computer.
It is.
Has a phone app on it.
That
it
I never does. Use.
The calculator?
It does. No, the phone app is use the least.
The world frightens and confuses me. So let's say that the payment is $850 a month.
All right.
Times 12 equals $10,200 per year. That's the nut you have to crack on a yearly basis.
Okay.
Well, when you divide that by a withdrawal rate, let's just say of 4%, you'll need about $255,000. Let's just round down a bit. About $250,000 in a lump sum to give you that same income that mortgage is costing you. Think about that. So if the mortgage itself is $60,000, okay, and the payment to it is $850 a month, you're not able to deduct it anymore because the standard deduction is run so assiduously mentioned here, is not no longer available. Having paid that off may make a lot more sense for those approaching retirement. A lot more freedom, because that lump sum required to give you that income, if indeed you want to pass that money along to further generations, is a relatively large sum compared to the sum of just having paid that mortgage off. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Good.
See.
Cool.
Si,
senor. Do we have
a
call?
Take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Carol is calling in. New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout and Shea Pataja. Carol's in Traverse City. Hello, Carol.
Hi. Hey, I'm wondering, I'm 62 and just got diagnosed with some medical issues. Should I take money out of my 401k to pay off, like, my debt? Because my income's going to be compromised here for a little while, but then when I'm back to work, I'll have my debt paid off, so then I can just put money right back into my 401k, you know, more each pay.
Are you no longer with that employer?
No, I'll be able to come back to work.
Okay. So you're talking about borrowing from the 401k.
Well, but do I have to borrow? Can I just take money out since I'm old enough?
No.
Oh.
No, because you're still with a company. You would have to borrow it. But I would speak specifically to your HR department and find out what your options are. Now, you may have, because you're over 59 and a half, what's called an in-service distribution option.
Okay.
Now, that's a great example of why, in concert with that, you may want to speak with a financial advisor just to find out what your options are. And sometimes, it makes sense to call these administrators of these plans and say, what are my options with this? Okay.
But you ultimately want to take some out on a long, on a short-term basis, and then because your income's disrupted, and then when your income mm-hmm. resumes, then put it back in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
And you're not going to pay a penalty for having drawn any money out of an IRA because you're over 59 and a half. So there may be there that certainly makes some sense to at least have a conversation about that.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
All right.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you for the call, Carol.
So the in-service distribution option, some 401k plans offer that for anyone who's over age 60 and still employed at the company. You can, in essence, transfer a portion, in some cases all, of your 401k to an IRA, tax-free, and then draw those funds out of the IRA as you need it to pay off debt, if indeed, obviously, that's the case here.
Okay. So, if her 401k is through the company, as you say, she just has to find out who the administrators are and call them.
Call them in concert with getting advice from her tax consultant as well as possibly a financial advisor as well. Because the tax and her cost could wind up being significant. Mm-hmm. So we want to count the cost as well as the benefits in a transaction like that.
And another account that's good for that would be a Roth IRA. So if you have an emergency, like it sounds like she does, you can pull from your principal without a penalty, correct?
That's a great idea, too. So indeed, she may have a Roth account that she's not necessarily aware of. That's, again, why looking at the full picture of her own financial package, if you will. So we wanted to take advantage of looking at some sample situations of possible saving options or opportunities for individuals and or for couples. In this first example, we have a couple, a nurse and a doctor, he and she or she and he, married, no children in this case. And I wrote estate planning with exclamation points right next to that still is equally as important even without the children because who will receive those funds if you both pass away? In this case, let's say they both have 403B options for saving, regular 403B accounts and or Roth 403B accounts. Let's say he or she, the doc, has a defined benefit plan as well. And they can contribute through that plan $120,000 of their compensation in a given year. Obviously, they're saving a tremendous amount of tax. In this case, they may want to take advantage of the Roth option within the 403B, not write it off up front, and draw that income tax-free at retirement. So the ability to save in certain areas for anyone, whether it's $5,000, $10,000 on a tax-deferred basis, may allow them, too, to use the Roth option, balancing the tax consequence up front to be able to take the amount tax-free outside. So, excuse me, instead of just being able to say, I'm taking advantage of a Roth IRA, maybe it's a Roth 403B, a Roth 401K, a Roth 457 account, if your employer has that option. That money comes out tax-free. Really a nice option in terms of being able to save as well throughout your retirement year or through your savings years to dollar cost average in and have that money come out non-taxably. It's not to, the Roth option, it just doesn't make sense for using later, you know, when you're 82 and you really perhaps don't care as much. It might be when you're 68 and you have an emergency of a financial nature and you don't want to pay the tax on that particular amount that you're drawing. So it can be incredibly powerful in terms of diversification and also tax benefit. So being able to draw from a variety of sources is always more power. Create complexity in these situations for yourself so that you can drive your children crazy. What were they thinking when they did all these things? Well, who knows? Mm-hmm. They, you know, they may have to learn some of this, right? Mm-hmm. Could be worse things. Perhaps you may want to review this with your children as well, along with your financial advisor. How am I supposed to inherit this sort of thing? We're having more and more of our clients say, yes, let's have a beneficiary meeting. Some, excuse me, are comfortable having their children see the balances that are in those mm-hmm. accounts. Others are not at this point. Whatever that situation is, if they know the score and or who we are, that really levels the playing field for them in terms of settling things should the worst happen to you and or the both of you, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
My parents let me sit in on their meeting and look at their financial plan, and that was really helpful and eye-opening for me. It also brought a lot of comfort because as the oldest and the only one that lives here, it was nice to be able to see where they're at, what their plans are. They're both in their 60s. What their plans are as they move towards retirement.
So it gave you much more confidence.
It gave me confidence and comfort with what they're doing. And then if anything were to happen, I have a clear understanding of what, you know, they want to do with their money or want to do with their money and what their goals are. And so that was really neat. If parents out there are listening and you've got a kid in your 20s, 30s, 40s, an adult child, and if you feel comfortable bringing them in on meetings or letting them know, you know, from my perspective, it was not overwhelming at all. It was, and it's not because I work in the industry. As we all know, numbers are a little bit of a challenge for my creative brain, but it was more being able to look at the strategy of everything and see the options they have, the ideas they're throwing around, and I don't know, it was just neat.
It's a great learning experience for everybody in that case, I thought. It was great.
Yeah, yes. So I've had other parents talk to me and say, well, do you know, because you work in finance, do you know? And this was the first year that we actually sat down, but I feel like retirement gets really serious for people, like 50s, 60s, they really start to think about it and get more mm-hmm. open about things. So,
yeah, it needs to get serious because it is. The mm-hmm. shift of responsibility is so dramatic. Fortunately or unfortunately, we all have to think a lot about it. And it's not, if you can, make it a part-time activity when you're retired as well. It's not something most will regret. Number two, 66-year-old retiree. Let's say he or she actually has a self-employed too, part-time. Conservative expenses as well, wants to invest continuing in their own IRAs.
What's this example again? It's
a 66-year-old retiree.
Yep.
Part-time job, self-employed. He or she could use what's called a simple IRA. They could install a simple IRA in their own small company. Let's say their income is $10,000 a year. $10,000 a year. That's from Pride and Prejudice, by the way.
Yes.
Anyway, $10,000 a year, they could save that full $10,000, set it aside, and not pay any tax on it.
How about that?
Full benefit. Well, do I want to take all my income and put it aside? You could. Nice to know you can. May not want to. May not want to take some current income out of there, but it's just nice to know that flexibility exists. And if you've got income from other sources coming in because you've retired, defined benefit plans, let's say you're taking Social Security, that may be a great way to save that income. Mm-hmm. I see this a lot in real estate professionals having to draw a required minimum distribution from their IRAs and over here still doing a SEP IRA to fully fund and defer the income from the RMDs back into retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. Even over age 70 and a half. Kind of radical. Mm-hmm. Number three, a 35-year-old single individual. I just wrote under here, go, go, go. The 3% match. If he or she has a 3% match in their plan, that's the example of the 6% going into retirement account, saving for the future. In this case, this person may decide that this makes as much sense as paying down debt early as well, depending on their situation and their comfort level and what they have in emergency fund accounts together. Now, all of these situations require a will and, if possible, good morning, Joel Frank. How are you, man?
Mm-hmm.
He says hi.
We're waiting on you, Joel.
Yes.
So all of those require a will and a what?
Well, all of these situations require a will and at least a durable power of attorney so that we know who's going to get what and if we're temporarily disabled? Who's going to handle the financial details of my life?
Okay.
All right.
So think about that.
Yes.
Shall we go to Maple City, Michigan? Let's get Dennis's mic on. There we go. Let's go to Amadi in Maple City. Good morning. Is Amadi?
Correct.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I love listening to your show.
Thank you. Love doing it, honestly.
Thank you. Traditional IRAs, that's all that existed when my wife and I started saving, and that's where all our money is.
Okay. Mm.
And we have a concern that when we reach, what is it, 70 and a half, that we have the mandatory distribution.
Correct.
Could we transfer money into a Roth IRA? I know if we take it out of the traditional, we have to pay tax on it.
You do?
Would that money then be considered income for the year if we automatically just move it into a Roth IRA?
Go ahead.
And if we do that, does the money going into the Roth IRA have to be earned income for the year?
Boy, you've got a variety of good questions. Now, what age are you right now?
63.
You're 63. And I'm guessing you're both still working?
No, we're fully retired.
You're fully retired. Well, given that you're fully retired, you have until age 70, as you already talked about and discussed, converting whatever amount you wish to each year, depending on how much tax you want to pay, to a Roth. There is no limitation on your income or the amount that you can convert. So that's okay. A common misinformation, if you will, okay? So you can convert whatever amount you like on a yearly basis, depending on how much tax you want to pay. So you want to take a look at your tax bracket first. How much room do you have to fill up your current tax bracket?
Yeah, because the amount you put it or take out puts you in a different bracket, and so you're paying.
Well, it could put you in a different bracket, yes. So it is taxable in the year in which you convert it.
Okay.
So there are three things you want to think about. First off, number one, do you have the money set aside to pay the tax that's going to be due on that conversion?
Uh-huh.
Number two, do you have about 8 to 10 years to leave that money in there to take advantage of its compounding that should occur within the account, given the tax that you pay up front for having done that?
Correct.
And number three, do you have a pretty good idea that your tax bracket will be the same or generally higher in the future, given where tax rates are right now?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
So consult with your tax advisor and or financial advisor in regards to doing that. But remember, you've got 7 years to make this transition.
Yes. Okay. We also found out that 2 years prior, what your income was then also affects what your Medicare payments are.
That's correct. So when you go above a certain income level, your Medicare premiums can rise as well.
Yes. So taking that money out is considered income then, correct?
It is considered income in the year in which you convert it. But you have quite a bit of space before your Medicare premiums are going to go up, and you don't have Medicare premiums yet because you're not yet 65. Right?
No, but I got a year to go. My wife just turned 65.
Okay. Well,
so that's why we're thinking about it.
I see. Mm-hmm. That's a great consideration to make. So if we actually ran into that situation with a client about 3 or 4 days ago, we were advising her to be very careful in her total withdrawals from her IRAs, given the fact that she would be subject then to higher Medicare premiums.
Yes.
Important to remember.
And we took money out to build a garage, which increased our income. And we thought that, okay, now we're at that higher bracket from now on. But we found out it's adjusted every year.
It is every year. That's correct.
So that my wife didn't faint after she found that out.
She's still willing to hang on to you, eh? That's a good thing.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Amadi in Maple City, Michigan.
So our last example is a couple age 81, both of them, and required minimum distributions. And we didn't mention this to Amity, but at age 70 and a half, they can take advantage of what's called the QCD, the Qualified Charitable Distribution. In this Roth conversion, don't bet the farm on any one given tax strategy, maintaining itself or being the same in the future. Diversification as to these tax consequences of these different accounts. If you bet the farm all in the Roth IRA, you may be right. You may not be so right, depending on your situation. Well, I want to give some money. I need to draw some income anyway from this thing. Well, you may decide you want to pay the tax on that income because you don't have the time to make up the difference given you paid the tax all up front. So lots of variety there, correct?
All of this becomes crystal clear to people who are living it.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of theories until it's your situation and you're walking through it and you get the letter that says your Medicare is going to cost X amount. I mean, none of that really makes sense.
Until that happens, right.
Yep.
So trying to think about this in the future, a diversification as to investment and a tax consequence is huge. Don't bet the farm on any one given strategy being your answer all the way down the road. And that's one thing I remember I was thinking about as Amity was talking, and I forgot to mention it. So he may want to take advantage of the QCD in the future. I want to give some money to my church or to Father Fred or whatever 501c3 organization there might be. And those little things from, what are those called again?
Morsels.
Morsels. Those are incredibly good, are they not, Ron?
Well, now speaking that you mentioned that I'm eating one.
Now I'm embarrassing Ron.
Yes, they are.
He was trying to sneak one in.
Yes, I go down the rabbit trail. So the QCD may be a fantastic way for an individual or couple to take advantage of not paying any tax.
It's like, what about Bob? Did you make this yourself?
Yes, I've lost control of the class, I can tell. John, sit down in the back there, if you would. You're disturbing the rest of the students.
Yeah. I even had something important to say. It's totally gone.
It's gone.
I lost it.
Oh, thank you. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
In this case, let's say this couple, 81,
yes,
has two children, age 50 and 55. Man, make certain that those children, this may have made the conversion up to the Roths make more sense for them, given they inherit this stuff and they don't want taxable income. And if there's long-term savers, so Amity's situation, again, another reason he may, and they both may want to consider these conversions are, if they have children and their children are savers and conservative, that Roth IRA can benefit them as well. Huge, huge benefits in the long term. The children have to take required minimum distributions, but they're all tax-free. All tax-free.
Wow.
I do want to mention to listeners out there, if you like managing your own money, you don't like working with advisors, you've tried it, we do have something called a consulting client. So you can come in, for example, Amity, just since you called. You want to run this by Dennis or Heidi and sit with them and make sure that you're on the right track and you feel good about what you're doing. Get a professional opinion to look at that. And that's something that we do for those of you who do like to manage your own money.
We have a lot of consulting clients who just like someone to come in and sit down with and say, hey, what's going on with this? What should I do here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's proutfinancialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.